a nation in mourning. Words cannot describe the bravery that the whole world witnessed on Sunday night. Americans defied death and hatred with love and with courage.
Check it out.
May God bless and watch over those who protect us. May God bring healing to the families of the wounded, the injured, and the fallen. And may God bless our great country, America.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And all throughout Nevada and Southern California, this isn't Kevin Wall today, but he'll be back Monday. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. You can find my work there. You can also tweet me at ReaganBabe. Any questions that you may have for Lenny Davis, who is in studio, to give us his expert opinion on firearms of the mass shooting by Stephen Paddock that happened to our city just a short, 12 days ago, is it now?
13.
13 days. And so we do have callers that are holding on the line, and we're going to be taking your calls because I know that there is a lot of questions. We don't really have a lot of answers. So, of course, when we have very few answers, more questions are raised, and that's just kind of how the tumbleweed rolls in this mystery. You can call toll-free wherever you are in this country, and I know we have nationwide listeners. 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. And with that, let's go to Jay on line 3. Hi, Jay. Thanks so much for patiently holding. This is Megan and Lenny.
Hi. Before I proceed, I'd like to give my background. I'm a marksmanship instructor in the United States Marine Corps. I've trained with various departments, with the FBI, DEA, Presidential Secret Service Sniper Team, and just name a few. I have experience and also training in different type of firefighting environments, urban, jungle warfare, TQB, just to name a few. Before I ask your friend a question here, but I just wanted to give him an opportunity to reconsider his position on single shooter, because I'm going to talk shop with you on the radio right now, and I wanted to let you reconsider that before you find yourself wanting, saying there's a single shooter.
I have absolutely no doubt there was a single shooter. So I'm what can you bring to it, Jay? Tell me. I'm open to it. Believe me, I'm not part of this investigation. I haven't been privy to a lot of this stuff. But I certainly don't believe that there is any evidence there was a second shooter at all in this tragedy. So talk to me.
Okay, so first of all, just give you a little information. Marksmanship instructing, which teaches basically how to shoot on a range, is entirely different from firefighting as far as firefighting in an urban environment versus a jungle war. Those disciplines, just like knife fighting, boxing, or anything else, takes months, 9 months minimum, to be skillful in those type of firefighting environments. Urban warfare, you have different things. You have an echo factor that you have to factor in an urban environment. You also, it's probably one of the most deadly type of firefighting environments there is. Now, one of the first question I'll ask you in this situation, because we do have, what we have is a bump or a slide or a chain fire, weapon that's being fired. That's what's being put out there. Where is the best part of the string? And in a string of fire, Where can you best determine what type of weapon is being fired? Is it chain? If it's a chain versus a bump slide?
Well, number one, I have to look at everything that's going on there. But I mean, it has nothing to do whether it's a chain fire weapon or a bump fire. This guy had relatively zero training. I think if he was actually going to, if somebody would have trained him, number one, there were, my understanding, there were tracer rounds found in the room. He had 12 of these weapons set up from the pictures that I have seen from the crime scene that were leaked by whatever dastardly individual did that. That he had a lot of the Surefire 60-round magazines. He was just spraying, and the bad thing is everybody goes, well, how could he kill so many people without any training? He had 22,000 people in a kill box approximately the size of a couple of football fields, and he just got lucky. I mean, he dropped fire on a target. There was no skill involved with this guy, and that's why the bump fire stock, it worked. I think a lot of it jammed. There's, you know, weapons from listening to the Metro briefs that there were some of the weapons that were jammed. But, you know, we're not going to know everything on this deal. It's only 13 days out since it's happened.
Okay. Let's stop right there. The answer is at the end of the string of fire is when you can best determine whether if it's a bump, slide, or a chain fire.
Well, when was the last time you were in a firefight with somebody with a bump stock? Nobody.
The bump stock. Okay, what is the difference between a bump stock and a slide fire?
They're the same. They're virtually the same, is my understanding. I don't subscribe to the use of either one of them, and I have told many, many friends that if this guy had had any kind of training and had about a 4 or 5 pound match grade trigger in there, completely semi-automatic, he would have killed a whole lot more people. Had he used the tracer rounds that he had, he would have had the potential to kill a lot more people. So it doesn't really matter whether it's a bump fire stock or not. This guy was, he
yes.
just got
yes,
a,
it. Does. It does. It does.
Okay. And how does it do that, Jay?
Yes. All right. Well, first of all, you're correct. Bump and a slide is the same. I was just testing you. But a chain fire versus a bump stock fire does make a difference in this situation. I listened to the video of the cab driver, and I could clearly hear. I watched the video from the concert itself, and I heard the difference between the tempo of the round, the rate of the fire, the distance where the sound is coming from, the echo versus live fire. And I heard multiple shots. So when I heard the cab fire, I heard the cab driver's video. I watched that video. There was no question in my mind after that. I heard the live fire from one direction coming one direction, and then I heard one from a little bit of distance far, which was more of a chain fire.
Well, and see, that's the thing too, that if you've done any work with a bump fire or slide fire stock, whichever you prefer to use, the terminology is they don't have a normal weapon that is select fire. It doesn't have, it changes their rate of fire. So and my problem with this too is also the fact that you have a lot of stuff from video cameras from a long ways off and everything else. My thing is, this is what I put a lot of people. There's so many people investigating this, so many officers. They're not all on the take. No matter what everybody believes, they're not trying to cover up some false flag operation. If there was that, in even the inkling of that, I know some of these guys who are investigating that, and they would have been the first guys that would have been going, hey, wait a minute, this is wrong. So what I'm trying to tell everybody is just calm down. Let the professionals investigate this. They know how to do this. This is a massive crime scene. We can, you know, I am glad I'm retired at this point.
Jay, thank you for your call. I think you asked some really good questions. And Lenny, thank you for answering them, with as best as you could, right? I mean, well, this is the thing. We have, and I get that we are, you know, I'm in the media, right? And you and I have had plenty of conversations since this has happened. And I keep saying, give us something. Because the vacuum that has been created allows all of the conspiracies, allows more questions, a lot of the disinformation that Laura Loomer was sharing on Wayne Allyn Root yesterday.
Oh, my God, yes.
Let's cover that. We got 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's cover that real quick, and then we're going to get to our next caller, Leon, after the next break. She had said why, and I was asked this by Bill Cunningham this morning, and I did not have an answer for him, but now you're going to answer this question. Why wasn't Jesus Campos listed on the register of security guards or some sort of, tell us about that.
Yeah, the Private Investigating Licensing Board, for manages and regulates all security companies. Mm-hmm. So if my security company, I have guys that do high-end security. They all are registered with the PILB. We have our cards. I have one also. We're registered on their on the roster as certified guards for the PILB. We've undergone all their minimal training that we needed to do and all of that. The thing that she put out yesterday was, well, we looked, and she put up a screenshot, or someone put up on a blog yesterday, a screenshot of where Jesus Campos' name should have been on the roster mm-hmm. from the PILB. The thing that nobody bothered to investigate was the fact that under the Nevada revised statutes, they do not have, casinos are exempt from that. So they don't have to register with the PILB.
Okay. So we just knocked off that.
Yeah. There's no, and I listened to Laura Loomer yesterday, and she said the FBI and Metro are covering this up. And I'm going like, what? They're not covering anything up. You haven't done your job. You've taken one piece of information and ran with it.
Right. Okay, we're going to dispel more rumors. We're going to get down to some more truths. We'll get down to your calls, too. 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. If you have a question for Lenny regarding the Las Vegas shooting, now is the time to call in. Leon, I see you on line one. We're going to take you on the other side. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
And welcome back, Nevada and Southern California. A little Bulls on Parade there, Rage Against the Machine. And we are in a rage, you know? We just had a massive, what I would consider, whatever type of terrorist attack you want to call it, whether it was a domestic terrorist attack, whether it was a ISIS terrorist attack. Do you think ISIS is involved, Lenny?
I don't believe so.
And that's just your personal opinion?
That's my personal opinion, not based on anything I've seen, because obviously I'm not in the middle of the investigation.
Right.
But I think this guy was just a madman, and I don't know if we'll ever know exactly why, but this guy's not an ISIS plant or an ISIS convert, and this wasn't an ISIS-funded attack. I just don't believe it.
Okay, and so we have a lot of data, and our next caller is going to be Leon, and we've got other callers waiting, too. If you'd like to ask Lenny a question, I know you have a lot of questions. You can call 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. And, you know, just to tell you, you know, Lenny is not involved in the investigation, but he has an extensive amount of experience. He's been talking to people that are active in the investigation. He's giving his expert opinion based on his firearm and military experience and security experience. And so you can bounce anything off of him. So let's go to Leon, who's been patiently waiting on line one. Hi, Leon. It's Megan and Lenny.
Yes, Megan, a great show. Thanks for having me on. I have a quick question for your guest, though.
Sure.
The shooter, we never hear anything about his data footprint. He had computers. He had two telephones. There's contact lists. There's, I'm sure, he had emails. All these things could be looked into, but there hasn't been a peep from anything in the media about this. And clearly that's a treasure trove of information. Why aren't we hearing something? Everyone's saying, oh, he's a madman. We just don't know anything about him. You know, he didn't live in isolation. Maybe he isolated himself, yes, but I'm sure he had. He's an intelligent enough guy to make all this money. He was a millionaire. He had different accounts and going on cruises. He didn't do that, I'm sure, just all over the telephone. He had a computer network somewhere, and intelligent enough people, the FBI, I'm sure, have looked into this, but we're not hearing a word about this. What do you think about that?
Well, I can tell you from my personal experience as being an investigator in the federal system and having done cases that require data devices to be downloaded and forensically looked at, it takes time, guys. And then when you develop a lead, you have to send guys out and investigate that lead. So, you know, I've seen everybody go, well, why don't we know this? Why don't we know that? There are, I guarantee you, those computers are being looked at. Every piece of that data is being mined, and they are being, you know, if there is a lead, it's being doled out to agents to go out and investigate that. Believe me, that's happening.
Yeah, and no one just lives completely off the grid. This guy didn't live off the grid. He has computers.
Oh, absolutely not.
Right. And so there is something somewhere that is going to be the key to expose exactly who he is, if he has connections, if it is an ISIS connection. There's going to be some sort of manifesto. There's going to be electronic trails, whether he was, you know, colluding with an anti-left or a leftist organization, like an Antifa organization, something like that. There will be. So we're going to take another caller, Nick, because we only got Lenny for a short time. Nick, you're on with Megan and Lenny.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Megan, I have a question on the Windows. Was the Windows installed from the outside or installed from the inside? So what happened with the Windows if they were so installed from the outside? The breakage would have had to fall down, and if they were installed from the inside, then it had to be removed inside the room. So where's the glass? Was that ever determined?
I don't know that that's come out. It's a good point. I'm sure from what I understand, the glass was broke out. He broke the glass out with a hammer.
Like a sledgehammer, right?
Yeah, some sort of hammer. I don't know, but I know that he took a hammer, he broke the glass out to make that happen.
So if he broke it out, like he said, it would either fall out onto the ground below, onto Las Vegas Boulevard or Russell Boulevard. And I asked why we had two windows broken. If he had such a clean shot on Las Vegas Boulevard where that window was broken, why would he need to break out the Russell window? And you answered me off the air, and what did you say?
Well, I basically, it's my opinion. I think what he was trying to do was have two different vantage points, because you had these 22,000 people in kind of a contained kill box area, and that would have been where he would have shot from the
Las Vegas
side. They're going to evacuate that, and they're going to evacuate to the north the majority of those people. And I think what he was trying to do was be ready
for the evacuation.
Okay,
we have time for one more question. Let's see, Bill, you got to be quick. We got about a minute. Bill, you're on with Megan and Lenny.
Hi. I believe this guy was either inspired by ISIS or ISIS because of the target. But I'd like to ask you, if you say that you're sure that he's not, or you don't believe he was, what would you hear that would tell you that this man was ISIS?
Good question, Bill. Thanks. Lenny?
Well, I was an expert in anti-terrorism for the State Department for 8 years. I've got a lot of stuff that we look at. And I can tell you, this guy, and now again, I'm not involved directly in the investigation. I haven't seen exactly what's going on. That could come through. But it doesn't appear that he hit any of the triggers that we would say, hey, this guy's maybe got that.
Lenny, thanks so much. Megan Barth, we're going to have to take a break. But after the break, we're going to get to some, I think Harvey Weinstein and your calls, because we saw them pouring in. 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232.
You don't have to deliver 15 tons of food to the hungry.
You can start with 10 ounces.
You don't have to dedicate your life to saving lives.
You just dedicate 15 minutes.
You don't need to provide guidance to 5,000 young men and women.
Just one will do.
You don't have to build a school in an impoverished area to change a child's life.
Just spend an hour a week reading at one.
The men and women of America's Navy do some amazing things to make the world a better place. But then again, so can millions of everyday Americans right in their own backyards. Brought to you by America's Navy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
And Welcome back, Nevada and Southern California. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall. He is out today, but he will be back in the seat Monday morning, bright and early at 9 o'clock, and giving you live and local news then. But at the time, we're getting live and local with Lenny Davis. Hey, hi, Lenny.
Hello.
And we're trying to disparage, or excuse me, we're trying to disparage. We're trying to break through a lot of the noise that's been generated because there simply is just not a lot of information that's been available to the general public regarding the Las Vegas shooting. And the information that has come out, and this is a question I have for Lenny, and then we'll take Chris on line one. Why we're getting conflicting reports? Not only are we just getting reports, we're getting conflicting reports. We're getting the Mandalay Bay doesn't agree with the timing that the FBI and the Las Vegas Metro PD put out as far as the timing of when Jesus Campos was shot, when the shooter shot Jesus, etc. That creates a lot of confusion too.
Absolutely, and I the only thing I can I can't speak to it directly because I don't know why. It appears to me, though, that from some of the things that I have read and which I think are credible sources, that there's somebody going, well, maybe we should have done something earlier. I think probably from the hotel property, possibly. Not blaming them. But I don't know. And so it's getting to that point. Of course, there's already been civil lawsuits filed. Mm-hmm. There will be a flood of those, and are they in a protective mode? I guess is what I'm saying. So it's bad.
It's so irresponsible. But it's a PR nightmare. It's a PR nightmare, not necessarily for men, but a public relations standpoint. Like we as the general public, whether you're in the Valley here or from another city, you're looking and saying, why all the mystery? And you made a point. And you were gracious enough to stick around for another segment. You said, I want to get something out there. And what exactly was that?
Well, the thing that I want to get out, folks, you have to understand just the absolute scope of this investigation. What happened? You have crime scenes, both the room and the Route 91 event center. I think they were just finishing up today processing those crime scenes. So you have those, there's thousands of pieces of evidence probably just coming out of that hotel room that has to be collected correctly, has to be documented, has to be looked at. The weapons have to be looked at. The ammunition has to be looked at. The expended cases have to be looked at. There has to be fingerprints. There has to be DNA. There has to be samples. Not to mention that you have a cadaver in there. And then look at the scene at 91. You have all of these people who are some of them killed instantly there, and some of them horribly wounded, and many hundreds others, either wounded by this guy or wounded in the mass hysteria and evacuation of this. Then you've got two houses, and then as the last caller brought up, the data mining of all those electronic devices, that's going to take a long time. I have to go to the coroner's office. You have to go to look there. They have had to recover bullets and bullet fragments, do their autopsies on these victims. That has to be turned over. They have to look at ballistics. Everybody said, well, why is this guy's autopsy was done? The shooter's autopsy was done. Why don't we know what happened? It takes toxicology a long time. They're usually about 6 weeks. Now, I spoke to my daughter who works in Oregon for the state medical examiner, and she says their lab's backed up to about 12 weeks. So, I know this is going to get priority, but at the end of the day, it's going to take time to do this laboratory stuff. Everybody seems to think that this is going to be a CSI Vegas episode, and it's going to be solved, and we're going to have all the answers in 47 minutes, and that's with commercials. It's just not going to happen. It's going to take time. Joe Lombardo, I've known Joe for a long, long time. Joe's been doing a bang-up job on this. This is huge, and, I'm glad there are guys like Joe Lombardo who are the sheriff, and I'm not the sheriff in this one, for sure.
Okay, so let's take our last caller for Lenny, who will be Chris on line one. Hey, Chris, it's Megan and Lenny.
Well, thank you so much, Megan, and I appreciate Mr. Davis coming on the phone today.
Well, thank you,
I'm
sir.
I'm kind of a doubting Thomas sort of guy, and if you don't mind me asking some questions I think are material, I'm a former multi-jurist law enforcement investigator myself. And although I've heard the meme that this is a shooter, I've also heard the sheriff's statements, Joseph P. Lombardo, that the initial contact with the composer, whatever his name was, the security guard that was shot through the door. Not that they opened the door, but shot through the door. He had heard drilling coming through there. And that would tell me that nobody actually had eyes on the alleged shooter, Mr. Paddock. In fact, it's, to my estimation, and what I've heard from some fairly strong evidence in my own ears of experience, years of experience, that there were more than one shooter, more than one style of weapon that was deployed in this event, which tells me that there was more than one shooter. We don't know if Mr. Paddock was killed before or after the shooting started. We've seen the photos, which have some very troubling aspects, missing tattoo that's in previous photos of a 13 number on his neck. They're not in the so-called photo of the dead body inside the room. But there's a whole lot of stuff here that's very questionable, changing timelines that just really bring questions about this whole scenario and the liabilities, just the astronomical appearance of what they're going to be in this thing with the hotels and the victims. Really bring a lot of questions as to what the official scenario is.
Well, and I totally agree with you, and I'm trying to keep an open mind on this. Believe me, I'm not saying that, you know, 100% that he did this, because I'm not involved directly in the investigation. If I had more, you know, if I was, I'd probably know more. But again, it's going to take some time to sift through all this. You as a former investigator know this is a nightmare. I can't imagine. I was responding yesterday to a person that told me that, well, they should release a list of all the evidence collected. They were still probably as of yesterday, maybe even today, collecting evidence in that room. So at the end of the day, there's going to be a ton of stuff. But what good does it do to say, look, we took this carpet sample?
Right. Right. And you know, I'm glad you're here today. And, you know, people are going to believe what they want to believe.
Absolutely.
But I think that, you know, we all kind of have to take a breath and step back and not be led by the nose. You know, Laura Loomer might do some great work. I really don't know. You know, as a product of Andrew Breitbart, I understand citizen journalism. I think citizen journalism actually rose up because of the death of honest journalism, as we were talking with Clinical Carl, is because people knew that they were being fed a bunch of lies. And then on top of the journalism, how much time do we have, Jameson? 3 minutes? We'll take Staz in just a second. On top of that, we have the distrust in the FBI because it was so politicized under the last administration. And so no one really trusts the FBI. So we don't feel like we're being fed honesty from the press, and we don't feel like we're being fed honesty from our investigative agencies.
Well, and like I said earlier in the program, if there's probably, I don't know for sure, but there's Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department detectives. There's FBI agents. There's ATF agents. I believe Homeland Security has got some of this. So there's a lot of people looking at this. You cannot tell me that, and I think there's probably approximately 200, maybe more, agents and officers and detectives investigating this thing. If somebody was saying, look, we're doing this in some sinister deal to try to make a false flag operation, these guys, see, the rank and file guys are going to say, look, this is wrong. And you guys are trying to cover this up, and they would go to the media, or they would be, you know, go out in public and say, look, this is actually going on.
Let's take one more caller, and then that'll be it. Staz, you got about 30 seconds to ask a question.
Thank you, Megan. Love what you do. My question is, I understand that the investigation takes time, but they made a statement that he's been to Vegas hundreds of times and that he's always been alone. And in the same statement, they said he has a lot of hookers. When are hookers? No one. Why aren't there pictures of him coming in, coming out, the other visits? Why aren't there pictures of empty casings all over the room? This is why we think there's a cover-up. Can you respond to that?
Absolutely. I can tell you why there's not pictures of those all over the room. Those crime scene photos that were leaked to the UK Mail is like there's cases there, but that's crime scene photos. Folks, you don't get crime scene photos until the investigation is over with. And, you know, we don't know what's in there. And everybody's going, well, why don't we know? Again, it's only been 13 days since this happened. It's going to take time to put this together. This is not an episode on TV. This is not a movie. It takes time.
And it's the largest mass shooting in our history.
Yeah.
And so our police force here, we're not a big valley.
Yeah.
I mean, what Joe and his women and men have done over the last 13 days outside of grieve, because they lost, is it two officers that were down, or one officer memorial and one wounded, correct?
Yes.
So outside of grieving, they've had to, 24/7 on this. And additionally with the other crime that's been going on because Jerry Brown emptied the California jails.
Well, and that's the whole thing. That's my point exactly is, look, guys, they're putting every resource they can put into this mm-hmm. thing and still protect everyone else in this valley and do the investigations and all the other cases that were going on while this thing was happening. So, you know, you got to get there and go, look, there's enough. There's so much that the scope of this thing is so huge.
Well, thank you. Thank you for staying
You're
for an extra
welcome.
Segment, and thank you for everything. And thank you for being on my side.
Hey.
Wouldn't want you on the other one. But folks, we have to take a break. And then on the other side of the break, I'll take more of your calls. 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. It's Free for All Friday. We can talk whatever you'd like to talk about. But I'm going to get into what is the difference between Harvey Weinstein and Bill Clinton? Where is the feminist outrage from? The feminists.
Close, but no cigar.
I love it. That's clever. I'm going to steal that. All right, folks. Megan Barr at TheReaganBabe.com. We'll get live and local next.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Welcome back, Nevada and Southern California. Megan Barth here, ReaganBabe.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall today. He'll be back in this chair, same time, same place, Monday, 9 to noon. And it's been such a pleasure to have this mic again. I miss it. I miss it when I don't have this mic for 3 hours. But you can catch my media schedule if you go to ReaganBabe.com. I'm on national radio all over the place. Bill Cunningham and I are becoming the best of friends. He's getting weekly updates from me on the Las Vegas shooting. But you can find my work there, and you can tweet me at Reagan Babe and my Facebook page. I always love some Facebook page love. And you can find me at Reagan Babe on Facebook as well. So let's go to another story, shall we? Because there are other things that are going on in the world that show the absolute hypocrisy and double standard of feminists, the progressives on the left. And I closed the last segment with what's the difference, truly, between Harvey Weinstein and Bill Clinton? They both abused their power. They both are accused of rape. They both are accused of sexual harassment. They both have dozens of women of all ages that have come forward and accused them of all of these variety of sexual predatory behavior. Now, Hillary Clinton, of course, came out right away to stand by her man like Tammy Wynette. But not only did she just, you know, if she stood by Bill Clinton and shut up about it and just supported him like many wives do when their husbands, you know, cheat. But this was way more than cheating. This was sexual abuse. But she stood by him. If she just stood by him, I'd say, okay. But no. What she did, And I hope there are some young women in this audience that are listening that might not have been around when Monica Lewinsky was sexually assaulted and other women. What Hillary Clinton did to the victims of Bill Clinton was not to believe them, like she told us on the campaign trail, that all sexual assault survivors should be believed, must be believed. She used taxpayer dollars to set up a war room in the White House. And she used the war room in order to publicly smear, libel, and defame each and every woman that came forward. Now imagine if you were a young woman at that time like I was, and you had worked for somebody who was sexually harassing you. Would you come forward after what Hillary Clinton, the most powerful woman in this country, did to the women that came forward? And not only did she publicly smear them and defame them and call them all the names in the book and that, you know, sexual harassment was nothing more than a right-wing conspiracy, they then used the power of the IRS to try to financially destroy these women. Many of these women were Democrats. They were Democrat volunteers like Kathleen Wiley or Juanita Broderick. They all were volunteering on behalf of the Democrat Party, and this is what Hillary Clinton and her husband did to their own. Not only did her husband physically assault, sexually abuse, and sexually prey on Democrat women, Hillary Clinton then tried to destroy them. So Hillary Clinton is awfully quiet for 7 days after her good buddy Harvey Weinstein, I don't know how to say that name. Harvey Weinstein has the same type of accusations leveled against him. So let's hear what she says about the money that she received from good old Harvey.
I was just sick. I was shocked. Ugh. I was appalled. It was something that was just intolerable every way. And, you know, like so many people who have come forward and spoken out, this was a different side of a person who I and many others had known in the past.
Would you have called him a friend?
Yes, I probably would have. And so would so many others. You know, people in Democratic politics for a couple of decades appreciated his help and support. And I think these stories coming to light now, and people who never spoke out before having the courage to speak out, just clearly demonstrates that this behavior that he engaged in cannot be tolerated.
It took such courage for those women to come out. What about the courage of the dozens of women that came out against your husband? And so this moral depravity, this abuse of power, I want people to understand something. And if you follow my Twitter, you're going to see an engagement that I had with a Hillary pawn. I'm assuming she's a woman. She was trying to say that because Monica worked for Bill Clinton and pursued Bill Clinton, that she was just as enough to blame. Okay, let me tell you something about sexual predatory behavior. Sexual predatory behavior that is amplified, exemplified by the likes of Bill Clinton and Harvey Weinstein is not about sex. It is about power, and it is about control. And very powerful people, like Bill Clinton and like Harvey, use their power to control the powerless, and that is sexual assault, harassment, abuse, etc. So Harvey now has 32 women that have come forward, three accusing him of rape. He's got three investigations from Scotland Yard to L.A. to New York. It looks like one of the largest donors of the Democrat Party is coming down under his own big fat waistband. And I am going to enjoy seeing a sexual predator put away for a long time. I'm just waiting for the feminist outrage to be directed at Bill Clinton and the former First Lady. Well, this lady's got to go because this show is over. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Thank you so much for your calls and your ears. Check out my work on Facebook, Twitter, @ReaganBabe. Until Monday, we will see you and have a great weekend.